Hello everyone. Okay, I hope you're doing incredibly well. I hope you're home and I hope you are safe with your family. All right, so today's episode of Outcast is super special to me because jo aaj ka guest hai, that guy is super special to me. Today I have for you Siddharth Anantharam. Now Sid isn't just a friend, but a guy who's had a deep impact in my life by simply just having really powerful conversations with me. Now, apart from being a super humble and a kind human, Sid also works as the lead ever coach at Mind Valley and is the founder of Our Life Circles. All right, now without wasting any more time, let me just get into right into the podcast. Hey man, so glad you're here. I am super excited. I genuinely am so excited for this. How are you? How is everything going on?
Good. Really good. I think it's been an interesting time that you're in. Uncertain, but really interesting. So I think it's been, every day has been a new day. And it's been a new learning experience. So yeah, that's how I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay actually. I'm in one of those weird phases, spaces, where pehle meri problem hoti thi ki I have so many ideas but I can't execute them. Now my problem is that I have so many ideas and so much time, I don't know where to start executing all those ideas because now the ideas are just rushing in. So, but yeah, it's still way much better and I'm pretty happy about this whole situation. But yeah, I just want to hear it from you because to be really honest, I'm really glad that we're friends and everything, but I don't know exactly what it is that you do. Like, what is your job role, job description? So I really want to, like, I know you're a life coach at Mind Valley. I know you, you've also co-authored a book and you are founder of Life Plugins, Life Circles. So much life happening. Okay. So I want to know, ki, what is it that you do in your day? How does your day look like? Like, what is it that you really do and how do you interact with people and everything? Yeah.
That's a very like loaded question because it combines a few different things. You said, what do I do and what's my job role and what do I do it by day? I think which are three, it could take me to three different places. But I think if I had to summarize, put all of them in one, very simply put, I think I'm just someone who enjoys human connection, understanding human beings and human behavior overall. So everything that I do, I do it in different ways, but ultimately at the core essence of all of them, I think is to understand what happens when people come together, how they interact, how they connect, how they can learn from each other, how they can really be seen, heard and understood when they are with each other. So that's the essence of everything that I do. And that translates into my work as a coach, that translates into my work as host of Life Circles, and that also translates into what I do professionally with Mind Valley, which is I lead EverCoach, which is their coaching business. So I manage a team there and we work with other coaches out there in the world to help them become better at what they do. So all of it, at the essence of it, lies understanding of how human beings, human nature, and what really gets people going, what really gets people, holds people back, and how can we create spaces and means and tools that help people connect more deeply? That's at the core of everything.
Was this something that you went out to get and you realized something that this is something that I really want and you went for it? Or was it something that somehow life presented it to you and like you got an opportunity and you found that, hey, this is interesting and like things happen, did things happen? Or was this like a planned, that like this is where I want to go, this is where my life should direct into? Like, what was the process where you realized that, oh, this is something that I'm really passionate about?
Okay. So I think what you in your question itself lies a particular answer that we, or most of us, I think, assume for most of our lives, which is that life can either happen to you or you can lead life and you can take it where you want it to go, right? And I think in my case, the turning point, I guess, in my life was when when I was so sick and tired of hearing this word purpose, because it's thrown around in every day and everyday conversations that, you know, everyone was trying to chase it. Everyone was trying to find it. That instead of asking myself what my purpose is, I think I flipped it on the other side and asked myself what my values are. Mm-hmm. And I think we've had a conversation about this, that what if purpose seems like this thing that is outside that you need to go get, you know, and find and then discover and then go follow in the path of. But what if the journey towards finding your purpose starts with you? And what if finding your own values and just asking yourself, how can I live it every day, is the starting point towards finding that thing called purpose? And what if you didn't have the pressure of finding that purpose? Who would you be? What would you do? What code would you live your life by? I think that was the starting point for me. When there was so much pressure about finding purpose, and when there was so much, I guess, dissonance between everything seemed perfect on the outside, like the perfect job, perfect set of friends, all of that. But on the inside, there was still misalignment. And so dialing deeper into that misalignment and asking myself, what's really causing it? And what is a rule book or a set of principles I can follow that makes me feel aligned with myself always? I think that was the start of this journey, and that happened almost 5 years back. And ever since, it's just been a continuous process of discovery, of continuously understanding myself and learning new things about myself, almost like a little child who's curious, right? You know, who looks at the world through a sense of wonder. What if you could look at yourself in the same way? I think that was, again, a starting point 5 years back. And since then, once I started off on that journey and started living in alignment with my values, opportunity started presenting itself in my way. People started who were more aligned with how I looked at the world started showing up, and things started falling in place. And, you know, some people would look at it and say universe and all of that, but I think it's that journey always starts with asking yourself what you want to do, who you are, and what is something that is most aligned with you. I don't know if answers your question, but that was like the turning point for me to get me on this journey.
Right, absolutely. And I want to know from you that, see, hum abhina isliye we're in this concussion like this. It's like we're given this amazing opportunity, but with not enough tools to make most out of this opportunity. Is what I feel on a regular level, like on a daily basis, that, like, I am still privileged enough to meet the right kind of people in my life who guided me in a certain way that I know I am 2% or 3% self-aware, so I can work in that direction. But for a lot of us, and including my own brother, actually, like, there's no awareness of the term self-awareness. And it really bothers me. So what I want, and this is something where I feel that education system should have pitched in, that, hey, these are things that are essential, like doing your taxes, knowing how to do your taxes, stuff like very basic shit, like self-awareness, like giving yourself time, meditate, all this stuff. So I wanna, if you could like provide these tools, or if you could provide a tool, multiple tools to people who are listening this right now, what would those tools be?
I think, you know, what you said there was, is actually, I was just telling you, like, I was just coming out of a podcast conversation myself. And right before this, I was speaking actually to a dean who's been in a dean for multiple such business colleges, from IIMs to Flame to Mica and all of their top premier institutions, right? And I was trying to understand from him what learning is all about and how is that different from education. And I think, you know, a lot of what I'm learning through that conversation is what you're saying as well, which is that I think we are focused so much in day-to-day world is so much on education that the aspect of learning is forgotten. And I think that's where it starts. And learning is all about realizing that education might stop. So your degree, your time that you spend in school, your college, all of that formal education might have a certain period, it might stop, but learning never stops. So I think the first tool is the tool of realizing that you are the want or the hunger that you want to continuously be learning. And I think that's where it all starts. It starts with a hunger to say, okay, I want to learn more about who I am. I think that, or I want to learn more about why does someone react this way? It's just, I think it starts with that curiosity element. I think that's the first tool. So my favorite way to translate that quality of curiosity into a tool is questions. So instead of accepting a lot of things that we're given as answers, how can you start questioning them more and more? I think that's the second simplest tool that all of us have, right? Instead of just taking whatever we give in for granted, how can you just ask the question, okay, why does it happen that way? And then ask another why. And then probably ask a third why. And see if you're able to really get to the root of something. So I think questioning curiosity is one of those tools. Second tool, like I mentioned, is finding your core values. And if you don't know what core values are, it's about finding the things that really matter to you in your life, right? So that's the second thing.
Before we jump into the values which I want to talk about and which is a pretty long discussion that I want to have with you, I want to ask you this in context to the first point, is that what is one of the most powerful questions that you have come across, and what is something that you'd want people to think upon?
I think one of my favorite, you know, I have designed an entire game around just questions, right? Mm-hmm. So I have like hundreds of questions, and the questions are my single most favorite tool for growth. And I think if you ask me the same question, Vishnu, honestly, if you ask me this question 1 month from now, I'll probably have a new favorite question. So it keeps evolving, keeps changing as I am evolving and growing. But for now, I think one of my favorite questions that has really stuck with me is actually the same question that Oprah Winfrey talks about in her book, which is, what do you know for sure? And the reason why I like that question so much, what do you know for sure, is that it's such an easy, simple question. But very few of us stop to really ask ourselves. And it, hidden in that question is two things. What do you know? And what do you know for sure? There's a huge difference between those two questions itself. And then to answer those questions, you would really need to pause and ask yourself, yeah, actually, I know this, but am I sure about it? Or is this something that has been told to me? So you have to go through this entire process that I was telling you about, which is why. Okay, am I sure about that? Okay, then why? Again, why? Another why? And probably at the root of those, probably five times after you ask why, is you'll get to something that you know for sure. And probably that is something that you realize, oh, wow, that is something I truly, truly have learned through my life. So that question actually makes you think about life. And I think that's why I love it so much. Very simply put.
Love it. This is going to be... This is a clip in itself. This is a podcast. This one answer is a podcast in itself. Love it, man. And thanks a lot for that answer. Yeah, moving on to your point, second point, which are the core values you were saying.
So, you know, we've extensively spoken about it, about values, but the reason why this is one thing I can't stop speaking enough about is because I feel like it is so simple yet so ignored. And the concept of core values is all about, it's about realizing that there are certain set of unspoken rules that drives your entire behavior and your habits and your actions. And how can you go from a place of unconsciously doing all of these things to consciously stopping, pausing, and realizing, okay, what is a behavior or a habit that I want to do that is aligned with me, and then doing it. So it's about... it's the difference. Knowing your core values and not knowing it is the difference between not knowing it requires you to be, you're basically going through life almost like you're blind. You're like almost mm-hmm. because you're not, your eyes are open, but you're not seeing things, because everything is determined by how you've grown up, how you've been brought up, what you've been told by your friends, what you've been told by your family. And knowing your values is waking up suddenly and you're saying, oh, wow, there are so many things around me. What do I like in all of these things? And how do I want to live my life? And so I think that's what I think values is about. And values simply comes down to, I call it cheat codes of living mm-hmm. life, simply because once you know it, it just makes your life easier and better and more fun. So I think knowing what is it that you, those two or three fundamental principles mm-hmm. that you want to live your life by, and discovering them, not selecting them, discovering them, reflecting on them, and then asking yourself, if I had to live and take every single decision from now on based on these two or three principles and nothing else, doing it for a month, a year, and seeing how much your life, how differently your life is, I think is another very simple tool that people can use that can distinctly change.
I want to dig a little, just get one layer below this one, because what happens is when people talk about stuff like this, it happens that people understand it on a very superficial level, but when a real life situation comes in, they are not able to connect the two things. So can you just, for example, just give me an example, like where you get an opportunity to make a choice, and how does that value pitch into that particular situation, and how does your brain works as a computer that analyzes those cheat codes and then gives an output. Oh, this is the choice that I should be making because this aligns with my value. Can you just sort of give an example for that?
Sure. So before I give that example, I'll tell you why core values affects your behavior and your decision making, right? And then I'll link it to the example so you can better understand it. So information is processed. Whenever we gather information to make a decision, information gets processed in our brain, right? And then after that, it's analyzed and it's understood in our mind. And then you take a decision. Now, decisions can be literally human decisions can be of three kinds. You either react, which is more unconscious, which is more instinctive. The second is where you respond, where you, and the third one is where you intuitively take a decision, right? The difference between reacting to something and responding to something is reacting to something requires you to actually, when you react to something, you're acting first and then you're thinking about it. Mm. Right? When you respond to something, what happens is you are putting a pause between your action and your thinking. So before you act, you're actually stopping a little bit and you're asking yourself, okay, what is the best thing to do in this scenario? And then you act.
Mm.
And then when you do that for long enough, the third stage of decision-making is intuitive. Intuitively, you know, this is the right thing to do and you do it. So the reason why values are so important is it stops you from taking decisions from a place of reaction, makes you start responding more aligned, taking more responsive decisions that are aligned with you, and then ultimately moves you towards intuitive decision-making, which is where intuitively you know what is right and what's wrong, right? So that's the science and the logic behind it. Now, take for example, let's take an example of a common example that all of us face, jobs, right? How do you choose a career that is aligned with you, right? Every one of us faces this thing, right? Now, how do you, when you have to make the actual decision of the career, how do you know if the decision you're taking is a reaction or a response is where your core values will help you. So a reaction would be that you take it without a certain sense of thought process or analysis or any levels of thinking, because you've heard from your parents that money is important. You've heard from society that a high paying job is what will give you whatever. And you feel like this will give you respect on all of these things. But a response based on your values will ask yourself, okay, what is this job really going to make me feel? And if none of these were in the equation, which is money, fame, respect, what do I want my job to really give me? And if what you want your job to give you is, say, a feeling of contribution, for example, right? Then you will take, that will become your primary reason for making that decision. And so that, at that point, the value of contribution will totally trump any of the other things that you want to do, which would have otherwise reacted to taking. So it's a very simple example of saying, if you knew that contribution was your value, you would automatically use that as a cheat code during that decision-making process of, okay, which job do I want to take? And instead of reacting, you will put that cheat code and insert it and you say, I know I have to take this because it intrinsically it'll make me feel more fulfilled, more satisfied, more happy. So just a simple example.
Just a pure question popped up in my head. Like, are there selfish values, like good values, bad values? Like, is there something that I just want to do for myself? Is it still a good enough value to take decisions on and direct your life into?
100%. In fact, there are three levels of values, right? There are personal values, there's social values, and there's universal values, right? Personal values only involve you. Right? Social values involve you and other people, how you show up with friends, family, relationships, all of that. Universal values are values where how you act towards things which are far, far bigger than you.
Right?
So for example, compassion or caring for the environment is a universal value because it defines your behavior towards something that's far bigger than you.
Right?
But because values itself are so core to you, which means they're so intrinsic, they live inside you. Your personal values are the ones you will have most control over.
Mm.
However, a personal value is very different from a good or bad value. The definition of what's a good value and what's a bad value is again determined right. because of what we've been told.
Hmm.
We've been told that, you know, honesty is a great value. And so everyone wants to be honest. But is that really the value that they want to live their entire life by? It's not something they ask themselves.
Right. Okay. Moving on, I want to shift a little into a very practical skill of being efficient and being productive in this phase, because this is something that I sort of get into the, you know, aisa ki matlab, yeah, am I being productive enough? Am I managing my time at the best I can and everything? I'm sure a lot of people do as well. So what is your hack? How do you go about managing your day, managing your time, making sure that you do all the things that you want to do and you aspire to do?
So actually, I want to take a step back and ask you, why is it so important to be productive?
Hmm. For me, it'll just be just the fact that there are things that I know if I put out will provide an X amount of value to the community that I live in, to the people that I interact with, to the people that I care about, and for myself as well. And so I think being productive is the easiest way that I move in the direction that I want my life to move in.
Perfect. And so what your definition of productivity, what I'm hearing from you, is not about doing a lot of things in a specific amount of time, which is what most people's definition of productivity is. It's about creating something that gives you joy or makes you feel a certain way.
Absolutely.
Which is what you're saying right now, which is not what most people's definition of productivity is, which is why I was asking you. Because most people's definition of productivity is, oh, I have X, Y, Z, A, B, C tasks to get done and I have limited amount of time. Now, how can I get all of them done?
Mm.
Right? That is very different from the question you're asking, which is that you have this one thing that you know will really serve whatever you want to put out. How can I put it out? Because when I put it out, I know that it will make the difference it needs to for the people it needs to. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think that asking yourself before directly jumping in to ask, how can I be more productive? The first question to ask yourself is, why do you want to be productive? What is the end purpose of being productive? On certain days, you can just chill, man. It's fine. Kuch nahi ho raha. Matlab, life change nahi ho raha. Theek hai? It's like, so first is asking, why do I feel the need to be productive? On certain days, if you don't not productive, that's fine. If it is fueling you that way, it's fine. It's okay.
Mm.
But if your aim to be productive is ultimately because you want to put out something that you know is going to make a difference and give you joy, then I think for me, the number one reason it gives me productivity is my morning rituals. Like ensuring that I'm starting the day reconnecting with myself, nothing else. So meditation, reading, journaling, all of those things that fuel me, followed by really ensuring that my space and the environment, especially during these times, is something that I can have full control over. So when I can't control what's happening on the outside, the best I can do is control what happens on the inside, which means inside, both inside me and inside my room, inside keeping my room clean, keeping my where I'm sitting clean, you know, managing that space. So space is the second thing of productivity. And I think third is really looking at what is the one big win I want, not 10, not 15. If my day had to end, what is just the one thing I should have done that would make me feel really good? And at the end of the day, evaluating whether I've done that one thing. That's it. Everything else is a bonus. And these are just the three things I do. And I hope that helps. So for me, that definition.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that also sort of gives me a throwback to the conversation that we had, where you told me the exact same thing. Hey, is joy important to you? Is fun, having fun important to you? And just it's really good to reconnect with that right now. So thanks for that. Thanks a lot for that. Moving on, I really also wanted to talk about something that we've never talked about, and it's something that is a space that I don't talk about in general as well, because it's something that isn't of a lot of importance to me in general, which is relationships, like love relationships, all these things. And as I go through life right now, I understand like the importance of it, and the just the fact that the incredible amount of irrational joy it brings to a human, which just doesn't make sense to me. But it's, it does bring a lot of joy. So I want to ask you, like, how do you see relationships to be in general, like with a partner? And yeah, let's start with that.
Okay, so I think Howard ran a study, right? I don't know if you've seen that, but they ran a study for 75 years. It's the longest standing study that any university or any body has done, where they followed people's life and their journeys through 75 years. So since they were, I think, in their early teens or whatever, all the way till they were old men and women, they've tracked their life.
Right.
And the only thing they were trying to understand by tracking these people's life is what makes a good life. What makes a life good, and what makes it worth living, right? And the only thing they concluded, the one single thing that they concluded, is the quality of your relationships. That was just the number one. Like, the other factors were like not even in the equation. Right? So if I have to answer the long and short of it, it is the number one thing that impacts our happiness, right? As human beings, because we are social animals that we've always been and we will always continue to be. So now, to answer to your question specifically, of your question was, if I remember it correctly, was more about how are relationships run with your partner. Wait, what was it again?
What is a good relationship for you? Like, what is a relationship, good relationship for you? A successful relationship for you?
So I think everyone's definitions are different, but for me, my personal definition is one where two things. One is where there is space created for both the people to really create a good balance for each other. And the balance really means in balance between strengths and scars. Are you as a person willing to accept my strengths as much as you accept my scars? And likewise from the other person. So that's number one, balance of creating that space. Second is dependability. When I'm having a really bad day, are you willing to be there for me? And I think the third one is joy. How often do my interactions with you spark joy in my life? Because ultimately that's what you're looking for in a relationship, right? Like, you're looking for joy and happiness and a sense of fulfillment. So I think this is the third one. And another thing that I know that is really important for relationships is communication. Like, are you able to create a space for me to be my most vulnerable, open, naked self and share everything that's on my mind with you? So those are four important parameters that I feel are important for a great relationship.
How do you know when you're in a toxic relationship? Because I did a story a couple of days back that make a 4 a.m. confession. It was 4 a.m. So people are vulnerable for some reason, and the most amount of like the confessions were that either I'm in a toxic relationship with my parents or my loved one or my girlfriend, my boyfriend, someone. Like, I'm in a toxic relationship, how do I get out of it? Or how do I make it not toxic? So how do we sort of, to both those questions? I don't have an answer to that, so yeah.
First of all, you had asked a question before that, and I think that's the starting point, which is, what do you think makes it toxic, right? And I think realizing, like, you can call a relationship toxic if something's not working out for you, which is what a lot of people tend to do, I think, today. And something doesn't work out for them in a relationship, they start calling it toxic. Right, but one of the biggest things, and I think this is, if I had to add another factor to a great relationship, it is to realize that you will have conflicts, and a conflict does not mean it's a bad relationship. In fact, you know, a friend of mine, and you know him very well, his name is Shamal Vallabhji, right? He says conflicts clarify. I think that's what conflicts are there for. They clarify what two people are really seeking in a relationship. And so coming back to saying, are you calling your relationship toxic because there's been a conflict? Because then that means you haven't really gone deep enough to understand what that conflict is really telling you. And if you've, there are again two options, right? If your answer is, yes, I'm calling it toxic because it's just, I've just had a conflict and I'm not gone to the root of understanding why it's a conflict, then you know what you need to do. You need to go deeper into understanding why that conflict is happening in the first place. But if the answer is no, it's not just conflict. It's just, I feel like my self-worth is not where it needs to be. I don't feel seen, heard, and understood for who I am. And I feel like I am not willing. I don't feel like I am the person I am when I'm with this person. These are all indicators for a toxic relationship. It feels more like you are in the relationship just because in the start it gave you something, but no longer is it making you feel like the person you are. And it doesn't giving you the freedom and space to express yourself fully. I think the biggest thing comes down to the feeling of security and freedom. And if these two are compromised, and if you feel that you don't have these two, you are most likely in a toxic relationship of some kind, right? So I think first is asking yourself what makes the relationship toxic, and hopefully these things help. The second is asking, how do I get out of the toxic relationship? I think the first thing is to really understand, have I done the work and has the other person really done the work of understanding if we want to make it better? Right? And if we want to change things. And if you really want to change things, there is a simple equation. It's called the relationship equality equation. And the equation really asks four simple questions. The questions are, what have I given to this relationship? What more do I want to give to this relationship? What have I got from this relationship? What more do I want to get from this relationship? Right. At the end of these four questions, once you go through the answers, if clearly what you've given is far greater than what you're getting, speak to the other person. If the person's willing to change, then you know you're willing to give it a shot. If the person's not willing to change, you know that that's a relationship where it's not balanced. So you get out.
Right.
Awesome. So my follow-up question to that would be, how do you work about reforming a toxic relationship? Getting out of a toxic relationship, I'd assume is much easier, but how do you work around improving that toxic relationship? And like, how can you do your best into reforming your toxic relationship before you decide to leave?
So like I said, I think the starting point is that for asking yourself those four questions and then creating healthy values of what, not just for yourself, but also relationship values. Okay,
so communicating with that person, your values as well?
Yeah, so first is communicating what you want and what they've given and what you want out of that. So the four questions, like I said. Second is saying, okay, these are my values, these are your values. If together we had to put both our values together and combine it and create values for our relationship, what would they look like? And so now from because what one of the primary reasons why relationship becomes toxic is because it becomes you against you versus me. Right? And when it becomes you versus me, no one wins. So how can you change it from a behavior of you versus me to both of us together? And one of the biggest reasons that helps you take decisions which are win-win in a relationship is when you take it based on relationship values that you've created together.
Right.
So you know that whenever there's a conflict, because you know there is a difference between what you think and what I think, we will honor the relationship values first. Because we created it together, remember? So both of us have invested a part of us into that. So it's almost like if there's a Venn diagram, it's at the center of the Venn diagram that always wins.
That's a really good one. Thanks, man. Right, these are the topics that I really wanted to cover. So if there's something that you want to, apart from this, you want to talk about, you're more than, like, just feel free to. But I also want to ask you, like, what's ahead for you? What's coming up for you? What's something that you're really excited for in your life?
So I'm really excited for two things, Vishnu. One is, when I was telling you, is that you know, I'm really excited for getting out a podcast that I've been working on for you know, good part of the last one and a half months. And this is very close to all the work I do, very close to my heart. And it's all about creating, having conversations which are real, which are vulnerable, and which create the space to talk about those things that really matter, right? So I'm really excited about getting that out. And the podcast is called Let's Talk, and it's coming out very, very soon. And it talks about the things that matter. And linked to the podcast itself is also a game that I've created, which helps more people have these conversations that are close to their heart. And it has a set of questions. Again, I love questions. So it has a set of 100+ questions that you can ask to have really meaningful conversations with friends, strangers, colleagues, or even your parents.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, how does the top guy wanna, like, if there's too much that you can't disclose, don't, but like,
I can show you right now. It's right here. So this is what it is. So this is what it looks like. I don't know if it's the other way around on the video,
yes,
but right. So it's literally called Let's Talk. So that's what it looks like. My branding might be different, but it's like simply has few questions, and it's like playing cards, but instead of we've all heard of cards against humanity, but what if you could spend your time better and think of these as cards for humanity, right?
Wow, this is incredible. I love this. I want this. Where do I get this?
So it's available for pre-order. So I'll share the link with you. It's on our website. It's called ourlifecircle.com/game. And I know it for whoever's listening, you can just put it in your description, whatever. But I'm really excited to get this out, Vishnu, honestly, because I feel like so many of us spend so much of our time, quality time with people. But I don't think we spend it in a way in which we leave feeling richer. And richer in the sense of having known this person, having really got to the depth of what gets this person going, and you know, and connecting deeply with this person. And my hope is that both the podcast and these cards will give people more tools to do that while having fun, you know, and not keeping it serious. So I think that's what I'm excited about.
That's incredible. I'm excited for both those things, because I'm a big podcast guy. I love listening to podcasts, and I can't wait for your podcast per se. And so is there something else that you want to add on, or you want to convey, or you want to say, just add something?
Yeah, man, I want to tell all your listeners that how incredible you are. I think they already know that. But I love your sincerity, and I love the element of authenticity and fun and honesty with which you show up. And I love that you are such a learner. And I'm so grateful that you are putting so much of you through the podcast, your Instagrams, your social media feeds, your videos that help people see themselves in your stories and learn through it. I think that's an art in itself. And I just want to thank you for doing that and creating that space for more people.
You're the best. I'm the worst at getting compliments or receiving compliments, because I never know how to react apart from saying thank you, and then I feel the thank you is just too less for me to say. Then I end up overcompensating for that thank you and saying, you're the most amazing person that has ever crossed my life. I am so obliged. But anyway, but I also want to just mention the fact that Sid here has been more than a friend to me. He's been such a mentor to me, and I've never had a mentor, consider anyone as my mentor. But man, thank you so much for everything you've done for me and in my life in general. So thanks a lot. And if you want to check him out, his handle and all his projects and all his ventures will be in the description if you're watching. If you're listening to this on any podcasting platform, for example, Apple Podcast, Spotify and everything, they're in the description. If on YouTube, they're still in the description. And you can also just switch between. If you want to watch this, please come on YouTube. If you want to listen to it while you're doing your dishes or other stuff, it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all major podcasting platforms.